All right, thank you, Rabbi Kaufman. There was some confusion about when we daven mincha tonight, and the act announcements, it was 8 o'clock, and Yeshua announced it was 8:10. We did that on purpose because we wanted to see if anybody would get angry. Thank you very much for the introduction, Ravelli. It's always a pleasure to be here in OFMS. Every shul has a character, and you could feel the character when you walk into the shul, the ambiance, the friendliness, the way people daven, and to be here is always very special for me. There's a story told of a fellow who needed to travel from Minsk to Pinsk, and he hired a wagon and a balagola, a wagon driver, and he had a wagon with a horse, and the horse was one of these mares that had seen finer days years before that. It was a very worn down horse, and as they were traveling, they come to the first hill, and the horse can't make it up the hill. So the balagola says to his passenger, he says, maybe you could get out of the wagon and help push the wagon up the hill because the horse can't make it on his own. So he does that. He pushes the horse with the wagon with the horse up the hill. Then they come to the top of the hill, and they have to go to the bottom of the hill, and the horse doesn't have the strength to hold the wagon back as he goes down the hill. So again, he says, maybe you could hold on to the wagon so the horse won't be overpowered by the wagon. And this goes on for a while. They come to the hill. Again, each time, the same thing. Push up the hill, down the hill. So finally, the passenger turns to the balagola, to the wagon driver, and he says, I understand why I'm here, because I'm going from Minsk to Pinsk. I understand why you're here, because you're a balagola. You're here to make money. But what I don't understand is, why do you have to schlep the ferret? Why do you have to bring the horse to be here? So I have the same question. You have a distinguished brother, Rabbi Kaufman. I've heard him speak many times. I've heard him speak for ACT, and he's outstanding. I think, did you speak about Lashon Hara once?
I wouldn't tell you.
Oh, you wouldn't tell me. Huh? I won't tell anybody. But he's outstanding. Ravelli is a phenomenal speaker, and I happen to love his sense of humor. Sometimes if you see us, he outdoes me by leaps and bounds. If I make a pun, he runs circles around me once he gets started. So I understand why you're here. You're here to hear a lecture about anger. And I understand why the ACO leadership is here, because they're the ones that run ACO. And I understand why Ravelli is here. He's the brother of the shul, and he's introducing me. But what did I have to come for? You had Ravelli. He could have delivered the whole lecture himself. I guess the reason why I am here is because I delivered a talk on anger Shavuos night in the various shuls in town as the Rabbanim made their way from shul to shul. And Phil Rosen, who has been the administrating together with his outstanding committee, and Phil, I just asked Phil, how many years has ACT been in session? This is the beginning of the fifth year, and it's amazing what ACT has achieved and accomplished. And if you're not an actual participant in ACT, the whole philosophy of ACT is to make sustained changes in the person's life. So if you're not yet signed up, after the talk, go out into the hall, see the material, join up to maintain the daily schedule of just a few minutes a day. You could change your entire life. So Phil asked me to deliver the talk because I delivered this talk Shavuos night. Now I hope that I assume there might be some people here who heard it Shavuos night. I tried not to make it exactly the same, but there's going to be some repetition, and again, I ask you, please don't get angry if it's somewhat repetitive. Okay, but anger is something that we all have to deal with in our lives. There's nobody who is free from problems of anger. By nature, I'm a pretty relaxed fellow. It's hard to get me angry. That's just the way the Ribbono Shel Olam created me. A few years ago, there's a sefer called Cheshbon HaNefesh, which is a sefer where he has a plan of how a person, it's very similar to what ACT does, that a person should keep a schedule choose a particular character trait and keep a schedule every day and see how you're doing, how you're handling it. So I decided I was going to work on anger, just to see if there's telltale signs that I have to eliminate from my personality. And I was stunned to find that during the course of the day, I just kept getting angry throughout the day. Not huge outbursts, but I was surprised at myself that things annoyed me. After I gave the talk, Shavuos night, and I delivered the talk 4 times in 4 shuls, you would think that I would be the expert in not getting angry. That they always say when you speak to an audience, the most important person that you're talking to is yourself, because after all, you're the one that delivers the talk, so it should have the greatest impression on the speaker. So you would think by the time I delivered this talk 4 times, nothing would faze me. So here I was, a week after the talk, my son was getting married. We had an Eichruf the week after Shavuos, and my brother-in-law told me that he would like me to have schnapps available for him for after the fish. I'm not into that kind of stuff, but okay, he said he needs schnapps for after the fish. So I went out special to buy my brother-in-law a bottle of schnapps so he could have a schnapps after the fish. And I put it in my office, which is under lock and key in the shul. I put away my schnapps in the office so I could have it Shabbos evening and Shabbos morning after the fish. So I went Friday night after the fish. I went upstairs to my office to get the schnapps so I could bring it to my brother-in-law so he could have the schnapps after the fish. I opened the door of my office. There's no schnapps in my office. I cannot tell you how angry I was. I was so upset. Who stole the schnapps? I've got schnapps in my office in the shul. Maybe there's a few people that have keys to the office. So I start to think, could this guy have stolen it? Could that guy have stolen it? Who stole my schnapps? The whole Shabbos I was angry that somebody stole, could you believe it? They stole the schnapps that I bought special for my brother-in-law to have after his fish. I paid $20 for the bottle or whatever it was. Who stole my schnapps? Shalosh Shudas time, somebody came over to me and he said, he had opened up one of the closets in the shul. He says, is that your bottle of schnapps in the closet? And then suddenly I remembered, I put the schnapps in my office and I was opening it before Shabbos, and then somebody came to talk to me and I walked with that person downstairs and we went into a closet to get something and I put my bottle of schnapps down and I forgot that I left it there. So here I went through the whole Shabbos so angry that who stole my schnapps? But what upset me the most, I didn't get angry this time, but what upset me the most was that why did I get angry? I should pay attention to what I'm saying. It's such a terrible thing to get angry. But that's how we are. We're human beings. We all have to deal with the problems of getting angry. One of the most powerful statements about anger that had an impact on me many, many years ago. Well, there's a sefer, an author of Avram, Yellen Vengrab, who wrote a sefer at least 100 years ago entitled Erech Apayim, which is one of the classical works on anger. And he writes that he himself had a problem with anger management and therefore studied the topic for years and he worked on it, and he shares with us the things that he learned about how to control anger. And in the very first chapter of the sefer, he quotes the Rav Chaim Vital, who was the great disciple of the Arizal, the great Kabbalist from Tzfas, the Arizal. And he writes that the Arizal, when it came to anger, the Arizal was more careful with anger than with other Averos. Other Averos, when you do the Avera, your neshama stays intact. But when a person gets angry, the Zohar says that a person loses his soul when he gets angry. And instinctively or intuitively, we could feel that. You see a person that gets angry, it's like it's a different person. Something takes, it's like there's a dibbuk in the guy, or male or female, whatever. But it takes over the person. And the Zohar says that the person's neshama departs when a person gets angry. The Baruch of Tzaddikim writes that a person who has a temper is sanoi be'ein habrius. People cannot tolerate a person who's angry. And he's a burden for his family because they're constantly getting angry. Everything triggers them off. Everything gets them upset. It's difficult to live with a person who gets angry. And anger, of course, akas mevi other than machlokas. Nothing creates machlokas more than anger. The Gemara says in Shabbos that a person who gets angry is like he's oved avodah zarah, as if he's worshiping idolatry. And the Gemara quotes the pasuk lohiyah b'cha el zor. You shouldn't have a foreign god. And it says lohiyah b'cha within yourself. And the Gemara says that refers to the person who gets angry because the anger takes over the person. It controls the person. The person totally loses himself. His neshama, that's it, goes up, the shemayim, it ascends, it departs, and it takes over the person. The truth is that the 3 weeks or Erev Tisha B'Av actually is an extremely appropriate time to talk about anger, because if you remember the Gemara in Gittin, where the Gemara has the famous Agadata about the discussion about the Churban and Tisha B'Av. So there the Gemara says, in the very beginning of the discussion, the Gemara says three things. The Gemara says, Akamsa var Kamsa Charev Yerushalayim. Because of Kamsa, one story, because of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, Yerushalayim was destroyed. Atarnigol, Atarnigol, Tacharev Tur Malka. Tur Malka was destroyed because of a chicken and a rooster. Asaka Rispak Charev Beser. Beser was destroyed because of a panel of a carriage. And the Gemara goes on to tell the three stories. The story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, everybody knows. There were two people. Kamsa, the person had a friend, his name was Kamsa, his enemy was Bar Kamsa. By accident, he invited Bar Kamsa to his feast. He sees that Bar Kamsa shows up, and he's furious, he's so angry, and he tells Bar Kamsa he has to leave. And Bar Kamsa says, I'll pay for the whole meal. Doesn't matter what he eat. Embarrassed and publicly humiliated, Bar Kamsa leaves. He goes to the Roman government, and that led to the invasion. He tells them that the Jews have rebelled against you. So because of that incident, Yerushalayim was destroyed. What was the tarnigol, the tarnigolta, the chicken and the hen? There was a minhag that they had that when a chassan and kal would get married, they would have a chicken and the hen march from the chuppah in order to signify the fact that the couple should be fruitful and multiply. So the Gemara says that there was a legion of Roman soldiers that passed by. They grabbed the chicken and the hen. So the people got enraged and they attacked the Roman soldiers. The Roman soldiers went back and said the Jews are rebelling. And because of that, the community of Tur Malka was destroyed. And Asaka de Rifsik was the Caesar's daughter, was traveling in a wagon, and there was a panel from the wagon that broke off. And there was another minute they had was that when children were born, they would plant various trees, and then when they became chassan and kala, they would cut the trees and make the chuppah out of that. So the Mar says that the wagon broke, the Caesar's daughter's wagon broke, so the soldiers that were with her, or the people that accompanied her, cut down some of these trees, and the people said, chutzpah, you're cutting these trees, we planted them for the chassan and kala. They attacked them, so they went back and they said the Jews are rebelled against you, and because of that, the city of Beitar, which had millions of people, the way the Gemara describes it, the city of Beitar was destroyed because of that incident. Common denominator of all three is that, number one, these were incidents of people getting angry. It's in each one. The person, he got so angry that Bar Kamsa was at his feet. He couldn't tolerate that Bar Kamsa was there. They were so angry that the soldiers took the hen and the chicken. I mean, it's comical almost. It's humor. It's, you know, if it wouldn't be so tragic, it would be comedy. We go crazy over a chicken and hen. But that led to the destruction of Tur Malka. And because they cut down a tree to repair a panel, that's why the city of Beitar was destroyed. And the other thing that you see here is that in each instance, it was a matter of principle. They said it's a chutzpah. The fellow that hated Bar Kamsa, I'm principled, I'm not going to let you stay here. I didn't invite you, you had an invite to be here. They took away the chicken and the hen, they cut down the tree. It was a matter of principle. And this is so classical, that people get angry over things that are trivial and unimportant and they have no sense of perspective, and they justify it because they say it's the principle of the matter. And the Gemara says, Yerushalayim was destroyed because people did everything according to the letter of the law. What's wrong with that? That's why Yerushalayim was destroyed. Because they did the letter. How violent people should do things. But the point is, because you have to have seichel, and you have to know when to be flexible. And of course you have to be principled. And of course you have to be concerned about values. And of course you have to make sure that people do the right thing. But you have to know when. And you have to know sometime. You have to have a sense of perspective. The whole halacha is based on perspective. There's certain, when there's conflicting factors, you have to know which one overweighs the other one. You have to have a sense of perspective. And because they had no perspective, they got angry over that the soldiers did this and they did that, that because of that, these three major korbanos took place over matters of triviality because the people got angry and they couldn't control their anger, and that's why they were destroyed. So it's an appropriate time, as we are on the verge of commemorating once again the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, Erev Tisha B'Av, to talk about anger. I have a friend who for years suffered from a problem of anger management. He had an extreme form of anger management, of an anger management problem. When he got angry, you didn't want to be in the same city with him. He would just have explosions. And I worked with him a great deal, and in the end he sought professional help, and Baruch Hashem, he was able, after much time, he's a very motivated person, and he was able eventually to come to grips with his problem and deal with it. But one thing that he said to me that I thought was very powerful is that when a person gets angry, anger in, seichel out. When a person gets angry, they do things without seichel, without any logic. The same as these people that they attack. Well, what in the world were they thinking when they attacked the Roman legion or the Caesar's daughter? I mean, didn't they realize the stupidity of what they're doing? But anger in, seichel out. That's what happens when a person gets angry. A person acts completely irrationally when a person becomes angry. The Mesil Shisharim says that when a person gets angry, ish kazeh kedai lahachir olam mole im yeh yecholos biyado. If he could, he would destroy the entire world. When he's in a rage that's uncontrolled, there's no telling what the person will do. He'll destroy even things that are spiteful to himself. The person will do because he becomes angry. The Rashi says the best example that I could share with you of how a person acts irrationally when they get angry is a beautiful thought, as I shared Shavuos night, that the Stipler Gaon writes in the Birchas Peretz. The Rashi in Chumash, you know, says that the Tzfardeya, where the Chumash says Vatal HaTzfardeya, that the frogs came upon Mitzrayim during the plague of frogs. So it says that the frog came. It doesn't say the frogs, it says the frog in singular, Vatal HaTzfardeya. So Rashi says, why does it say Vatal HaTzfardeya? So Rashi says there was one frog, and then the Egyptians tried to hit the frog and kill the frog, and each time they hit it, the frog multiplied. It became more and more frogs. So the Stipler asks, he says, I understand the first time they hit the frog. And the guy's sleeping in his bedroom, all of a sudden there's a frog jumping on his head. So he gets nervous and upset, so he tries to kill the frog. The second time he didn't realize, he sees there's more frogs, he doesn't understand what's happening. But eventually, they should have caught on, that the more they hit the frogs, the more they multiply. So why don't they stop hitting the frogs? So the Stipler says, that's exactly how anger is. It's anger in, seichel out, like my friend says. It's so irrational, but the point is they had no control over the emotion. They're digging their own graves. They're making more frogs all over Mitzrayim, but they couldn't control it because anger in, seichel out. When a person gets angry, it doesn't. The logic person's totally acts in a totally irrational fashion. You see the same thing happen with Bilam. Bilam is riding on his donkey, and the donkey sees what Bilam doesn't see. He wants to go destroy the Jewish people, and the donkey, there's an angel there with a sword ready to kill Balaam. So the donkey keeps on veering off to the side of the road. So finally the donkey says, why the Hashem allows the donkey to speak to Balaam? If the Hashem is pretty awesome. And he says, Lamiki Sani, why'd you hit me? 3 times already hit me. What's the matter with you? Why are you hitting me? So what would a normal human being do in such a situation? A normal human being with, wow, a talking donkey. And I remember when I grew up, there was a talking horse, Mr. Ed, on television. We didn't have talking donkeys. But I mean, imagine if you got angry at your donkey, and the donkey started talking to you. Wow, I can't believe it, a talking donkey. What does Balaam do? He gets into a fight with the donkey. Could you imagine? I mean, it's ludicrous. It's comical. Could you believe it? He's having a fight with the donkey. It's like if the dog barks at you and then yells at the dog, and the dog says, hey, what's the matter with you? He says, oh, well, if I could, I would give it to you and I would whack you over there. I mean, you argue with the dog? I mean, what is he arguing with the donkey? What's wrong with Balaam? And this guy is supposed to be the great philosopher of the nations of the world. But again, it's the same thing. It's anger in, seichel out. I was once in Borough Park. This was a classic. You know, in Borough Park, there's no place to park. So I had a parking space, and I was in the store shopping. I came out of the store, and I was walking to my car. So a fellow sees that I'm about to pull out. So a fellow was driving down the street. So he quickly pulls up in front of my car so that when I pull out, he could back in. Another guy also sees that I am about to pull out, so he pulls up behind my car. So I'm locked in. I can't get out. There's the guy in front of me who's blocking me, and the guy behind me. I couldn't get out of. So I there was nothing I could do. So finally, I get out of the car, and I tell the guys, somebody's got to move. So they get out of the car and they start yelling at each other, and they're screaming. Each one is so angry. I was here first. I had the right. No, you were over there. And I said, guys, I need to leave. I was irrelevant. I didn't exist. They're busy having a fight. So you know what I did? I walked away. I left because I thought maybe if I go away, they'll go away too. I came back 10 minutes later. They were still fighting over my parking space. Could you believe it? It's anger in, seichel out. Now you'll say, okay, those are the crazy people. We're not crazy. We don't do those kind of things. Okay, but did you ever use a hammer? And as you're banging in the nail, you hit your finger, and what do you say? Stupid hammer. What's stupid about the hammer? What did the hammer do? You're the one that's using the hammer. You're the one that hit your finger with the hammer. Or people get upset they can't open a cabinet door because it's stuck, so they kick it, the stupid cabinet. What are you angry at the cabinet for? Did the cabinet do anything to you? Does the cabinet know that you want to get inside, and the cabinet decided not to let you get into the cabinet? It's the same thing. It's anger in, say hello. That's what happens when a person becomes angry. The Rambam says, when people get angry, everybody feels that this time it's different. This is justified. Even after you hear all the Divrei Torah and the Divrei Musar, and you're not supposed to get angry, and then the Neshama depart, the whole bit. But then when something happens to you, say, this is different. I have a right to get angry. So the Rambam says that, are you allowed to get angry when there's a mitzvah, when there's an important need to get angry? Are you allowed to ever get angry? So the Rambam makes an enormously important point in Hilchos Beis. The Rambam says, the Yilamed Atzmo Shlo Yichos, a person should teach himself never to get angry. Afilo Adavar Shiroi Lichos Alav. Even if a person, if it's something that's appropriate to get angry, even where you need to show people that you're angry, you shouldn't really be angry. You should feign the anger. If your children are misbehaving and you want them to see that you're really upset, that this is not the way to behave, the Rambam says, or if you're a communal leader, sometimes the people are talking in shul. Not in my shul, but sometimes it happens. So I always, it is in my shul. So I always get criticized that I don't get angry enough, because if I would get angry, everybody would stop talking. So the Rambam says, I'm not allowed to get, even if I want to do that, even if I think that that's the right way to control the people in the shul, that if I get angry, they'll stop talking. But the Rambam says that even if you do that, you should be You should pretend as if you're angry. He says, You should feign the anger as if you're angry, but really inside you're calm. And the Mesillas Yesharim says the same thing. That there's no, Mesillas Yesharim says, afilu bar mitzvah is yiranu chazal shelo lichos. Even when it comes to a mitzvah, a person should not get angry. There is no situation where it's justifiable to get angry. Maybe we're human beings and we can't control it, but there is no excuse to get angry. There's no situation where, at least intellectually, we feel, no, this time it's okay. There is no case where it's okay to get angry. And the Mesillas Yesharim speaks about the model of not getting angry is that of Hillel HaZaken. And it's worthwhile, even though I read the story Shavuos night, and those of you that were there heard the story, but it's such a powerful story. It's worth, and you all know the stories. We've learned it from the time we're in kindergarten and first grade. But it's such a tremendous model of how a person is supposed to conduct himself. There were two fellows that made a bet. One fellow said, they said, whoever could get Hillel angry will collect 400 zuz. So one fellow went to Hillel, and he went Erev Shabbos, and Hillel was in the middle of washing his hair. And we all know, Erev Shabbos, you know, there's never enough time to get ready for Shabbos. I don't know about you, but in my house, I'm running around like a chicken without a head. And if people call me up, and they have complicated shilas, and they wait to call me 5 minutes before Shabbos, you know, it's hard to stay calm. So Hillel was washing his hair. The person knocks on the door, and he's chutzpahdik, he says, Mikan Hillel, Mikan Hillel. Yeah, is Hillel here? Is Hillel here? So Hillel was nisatif. That means that he got dressed. He had to put on his robe, I guess, in order to come out. And he says, Bini Mata Mavakish. He treats him in a royal fashion. My son, what is it you would like? So he says, Yeshi She'elu Lishol. He says, I have a question to ask. So he says, sure, go ahead. Sha'al bin Ish'al. So he says, his brilliant question is, Mibnei Ma Roshem Shabaviyim Segalgulos. Why do the Babylonians have round heads? That's what he needs to know. Erev Shabbos. Why do the Babylonians have round heads? So Hillel answers the question. He says, Bini Shev Gadol Shabbos. He doesn't say to him, that's why you pulled me out of the shower to ask me why. Erev Shabbos, you got to know why the Babylonians have, that's the only thing you need to know. So no, Hillel says, that was a terrific question. Brilliant. I'm amazed at your intellect. Because they don't have good midwives. They don't. The babies come out with their heads a little bit deformed. Then a few, how often him to Shah, he goes away, and again he comes back, and he knocks on the door again. He says, Mikan Hillel, is Hillel here? Mikan Hillel. Again, his Hillel is Satif. Hillel obviously had taken off his robe to continue washing his hair. Again, he comes out, and he says, Mat Bini Matam Avakish. Again, my son, what do you want to know? He says, I got another important question. He says, Sha'al b'ni Sha'al. Ask whatever what you need to ask, ask me. So he says, Mibnei ma einem shel tarmudim trutos. How come the Talmudians have weak eyes? Another very important question to ask Erev Shabbos while he was in the middle of showering. So again, Hillel says, B'ni sha'elu gadol shalcha. That's a terrific question. You asked a wonderful question. He says, Minei shadar mei nechulos. It's because they live in areas where there's a lot of sand, so the sand gets in their eyes. And again, he goes away a third time, and he comes back again, knocking on the door, the same routine. And he says, well, this time he wants to know, why do the Africans have wide toes or wide feet? So he says, oh, that's an excellent question, because they live in swampy areas, so it's easy for them to stand. So then finally, the guy is so exasperated, he can't get Hillel angry. He says, She'elus harbi yeshi lishol. I got a lot of questions. Now, if it was me already, I would have let the guy have it. Yeah. Three times he asked me silly, ridiculous questions. You pull me out of the shower. I mean, I don't think it would have taken me three times to have him explode. So the guy says, I got a lot of important questions to ask. So he'll, and I'm afraid, Nisyare and Ishematichos, I'm afraid you might get angry. If it was me, I would have said, you betcha. If you ask me another one like that, I'll let you have it. Nisatit Yoshev Lefanav, Hillel sat down patiently. Amalei, Kol She'elu She'eshecho Lishol Sha'al. Anything you want to ask me, please go ahead and ask me. With tremendous patience. So finally the Gemara says, if you're Hillel, then there shouldn't be people like you. He says, why is that? He says, because of you, I lost 400 zuz. He told him about his bet. So Hillel said, it's worth it that you should lose 400 zuz, and I should not be angry. And that is such a wonderful amount. We should take this story and put it on our refrigerator. Or if there is anybody here that has a problem with temper, this is, if you read this story once a day, I could guarantee to you that it will have an impression. It's impossible you should read this story once a day and it won't leave an impression, because it's such a powerful and magnificent story. Nobody had a right, more of a right, to get angry than Hillel. And the guy was a nudnik and a dreikup, and he's bothering him at the worst time possible, and Hillel maintains his patience and his calm and his equanimity. So the big question is, how do we control, what's the way to control our anger? What are we going to do? Okay, it's a terrible thing. Say anger in, say fall out, then the neshama departs. It's like worshipping Avodah Zarah. What does a person do in order not to get angry? One of the most magnificent pieces that I saw on this topic is in the Sefer Ali Shur. Ali Shur was written by Rav Shlomo Volbe, who passed away about 2 years ago. He was a very famous mashkiach in Eretz Yisrael. He was one of the last of the great Bali Musar. And he, in his Sefer Ali Shur, he has a discussion about the midah of savranus. And savranus is the antidote to anger. Savranus, normally we transfer savranus as patience. But Revolvi says that savranus doesn't really mean patience. Savranus, the word saval, means to carry. It means to be, and in modern Hebrew, a porter is called a saval. It means to carry a burden. And he says that savranus doesn't mean that a person is tolerant. It doesn't mean that you can't disagree with anybody else. Of course you can have an opinion. Nobody said, Chazal weren't expecting people to be like stones and have no opinions about things. Of course you can have an opinion. And of course there could be things that people do that are wrong and inappropriate, and you know that it's the wrong thing. But a savlon is somebody who's able to carry it. It's like carrying a burden. And if a person is a porter and he's carrying three suitcases, you see these guys in the airport, they don't throw it away in the middle. They don't say, I had it, and they just toss it away, because that's their job, is to carry the burden. And a person who's a savlon is able to carry the burden. If you're able to read it inside, it's magnificent. It's the second volume of Ali Shur. The section is page Reshu Gimel to Resh Chafei. He quotes the Tamar Dvorah. The Tamar Dvorah was one of the great Kabbalists. And the Tamar Dvorah writes that the Ribbono Shalom, he writes about the different midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the first midah is Mikael Kamocha. And he writes something very magnificent. He says that Mikael Kamocha Mara HaYosa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Melech Nelav. The Ribbono Shalom is a humiliated king. Sovel Elbal Mashilo Yachilu Arayim. The Ribbono Shalom tolerates humiliation in ways that cannot be fathomed. Why? There's nothing that happens in the world that God doesn't know about. And a person's existence, every moment, comes from the life force that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him. We believe that a man does not exist simply because he's here already, so he just continues to exist. Every moment, God has to will the human beings continue to exist. There's no person that sinned that at that very moment that he's sinning, God is not sustaining the person. The Ribbono Shel allows people to commit sins, and they're sinning against God Almighty. He allows that to happen while he sustains them. He allows the person to have energy and to be motivated and animated and to do whatever crimes he wants to commit through the life force that a person is receiving from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rav Obi says that's the model that we have to have of what it means to have sablanus. That even if somebody does something that's painful to me, I have to have sablanus. I have to carry the burden. And if you have that type of mindset, then you don't get angry. Because if a person understands that my job is to carry it, then a person, it's like you don't throw off a burden just because it's hard. You don't toss it away. If a person, Rav Obi writes, if a person has sablanus, then he could raise children, then he could be a good spouse. Without sablanus, living with such a person is like living in Gehenna. Because everything is going to upset the person and annoy the person. A person without sablanus can't be a good parent, and a person without sablanus cannot be a good spouse. There's nothing that destroys a marriage more than anger. Anger is poison for a marriage. It's such a tremendously destructive force. And the antidote is that a person has to be a sablan. And this ties in with a beautiful story that I've told many times in my shul. When I became a rabbi in 1983, I was hired in the summer of 83 to be the rabbi of Or Torah. It was the summer of 82, rather. And I was in a bungalow colony in Woodbridge, New York. My parents had a bungalow colony there. They had a bungalow in a bungalow colony, Greenwalls. Right next to our bungalow colony was the colony of the Spinker Hasidim. And the Spinker Rebbe, Rav Herschel Zatzal, would spend the week in the bungalow colony. And my brother-in-law had a relationship with the Spinker Rebbe, and through my brother-in-law, I also had developed somewhat of a relationship, even though I don't look like a chassid, but he was an unbelievably warm person. And he embraced me, and he spent a lot of time with me. So when I was hired as a rabbi, I went to the Rebbe, and I told the Rebbe the good news that I was hired as a rabbi, and I asked him, please give me advice, what I should do, what is the most important things that I should be aware of and cognizant of as a new rabbi, what focus should I have? So I thought, here's a Hasidic Rebbe, most of you probably never saw the Spinker Rebbe, but he looked like a Hasidic Rebbe, he had such a beautiful Hadras Panim, he looked like a Malach. And he had a tish in the bungalow colony. The lights would go out. It became slowly dark during Shal Shudas, and he would speak, and he'd cry. He didn't matinos. It was such an unbelievable experience to be in his presence. So I figured, what's the Spinker Rebbe going to tell me? He'll probably say the importance of kedusha, of spirituality, or tznius, or holiness, or the importance of davening with fervor, or the importance of studying Torah, things like that. What did he do instead? He pulled out a chumash, and he gave me the best advice in the world. Pulled out a chumash, it was Parshas Pinchas, and he opened up the Rashi in Parshas Pinchas that we read Parshas Pinchas 2 or 3 weeks ago. Rashi is a magnificent Rashi. Rashi says, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Yifkar Hashem Elokei HaRuchos, Ish Al-Eida. He asked God, the God of the spirits, he said, you should appoint a person to lead the community. And he refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Elokei HaRuchos, the God of the spirits. So you never find that God is referred to as the God of the spirits. So Rashi says, why did he refer to him that way? Because Moshe Rabbeinu said, Goli Lufanecha, Daita Shekolecha Ve'ena, Shekolecha Ve'echa. You understand the mentality, the psychology, the way each person thinks. Ve'enim domen zevazeh. They don't think alike. Menei aleihem manig sheyehei sova kol echad ve'echad l'fi daito. Appoint a manig who's able to be soivel. This word soivel, to tolerate, to be able to carry each person according to the way he thinks. And he says, that's the key to being a successful rav, is to be able to identify with each person and carry what the person's, even if you don't agree, even if you think the person is wrong. And sometimes as a rabbi you get three people coming, and each one says the opposite of the other one, and each one holds the other one. It's great. It's not easy sometimes, and I'm not that successful in doing it like the Rebbe was. But that's the key, to be able to be soivel each person, l'fidaito shekol echad v'yachad. And that's not only terrific advice for a young rabbi, but it's terrific advice for all of us, that we have to learn, we should attempt to learn how to be soivel, and we all do it to some extent, but this is where the focus has to be, to be soivel kol echad v'yachad l'fidaito, to tolerate each, every person's different, every person's got their way of thinking. If people would be able, you know, Tisha B'Av is we think about sinas chinam. Sinas, because that's what destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. Sinas chinam comes about when I don't understand your position. If I can't understand what you want, you make me nervous because I don't agree with your position. But when you understand where the other person's coming from, then there'll never be any machlokas in the world. There will never be any wars, never be any fighting, never be any battles. Because I understand where you're coming from. And maybe I don't agree with you, but I'm able to be soivel the burden of the way you think and what you say. And let us hope, Amir Tzashem, that we should be able to indeed overcome the negative forces of anger, that it's a problem that we all have to deal with. We're all plagued by this, but we should, as we're about to commemorate Tisha B'Av, which is a time of thinking about what caused the Churban, the destruction of the Jewish people, the Sinas Chinam, we should be able to have savlanus, patience. We should follow the model of the Ribbono Shalom, who's the Melech Alban, he's the king, who's humiliated. People do Averas, they're doing it, the Avera to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, tolerates it, continues to give the person a life force. We should follow the model of Hillel HaNasi, that nothing fazed him, and in that way, our relationships with our fellow man will be, instead of having sinas chinam, we should be able to have avas chinam, and that way, mitzvah shem, we should see the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash in Herod Yemen.